from London, BBC Caribbean Report.
A Bahamian convict commits suicide before he was due to hang tomorrow. Dominica's opposition leader makes his pitch for the job of prime minister, and what the prospective takeover of Chiquita could mean for Windward Islands farmers. I'm Oren Gordon, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. A prisoner in death row in the Bahamas has committed suicide a day before he was scheduled to be executed tomorrow. John Higgs bled to death in his cell after cutting his wrist with a razor blade. In a suicide note, he accused the government of using the death penalty for its own political ends. The Bahamian radio journalist, Obi Wilchcombe, read the note out on air.
They are making investment in the death penalty. I am saying political investment. They use it to influence the public, making them believe that they are acting in their best interest when they know very well their interest is solely them and care less about who's innocent or not.
John Higgs gave his suicide note a title, Unethical Politicians. He was sentenced in 1985 for the murder of his wife Joan. In his suicide letter, he maintained he was not the one who killed her and hid her body in the stairwell of a house that was under construction.
As this nation moves into the next millennium and getting ready to select new leaders, you have to make sure that you select good, honorable, moral, Christian men and women to lead this country to a once again Christian nation and not allow innocent men like myself and women to become victims in order to gain political mileage and to stay in power.
Obi Wilchcombe reading the suicide note of the Bahamian convict John Higgs. Well, I'm joined now by telephone from Nassau by our reporter Debbie Nash. Debbie, what did you make of what John Higgs had to say?
Well, as far as political mileage, I would say for any country that's struggling with the issue of capital punishment, there are two sides of the issue. I wouldn't know that the Bahamas government would be different than any other government who would have that position. So, but as regards his protests of innocence, I can only once again speak from my view of following the case through the media here. I wasn't a member of the jury, but the evidence against that particular gentleman was quite compelling. What can I say? It was his last letter.
Debbie, are the authorities still going ahead with the execution of David Mitchell tomorrow morning, notwithstanding the suicide of John Higgs?
I have actually been spending most of the day contacting every authority I could, from the Attorney General's office to Her Majesty's prison at Fox Hill, even to the Prime Minister's office. At the present time, there is almost a complete block of information. However, the only information that I can get officially, and it's rather semi-officially, is from a Nassau-based attorney who did check the Bahamas Constitution. And it does say that it is possible that the Prime Minister could direct his Minister of National Security to contact the commission for which the final commission we have here in this country for the prerogative of mercy, who can rescind a decision. They had already put in their decision saying that the law must take its course.
And
but
finally, Debbie, finally, very, very quickly, Debbie, I'm sorry to interrupt you, finally, very quickly, what's official reaction to the suicide bin?
The only reaction in this country, and I've been on the streets as well as listening to the radio talk show programs, has been very small. The Bahamas here seems to be quite complacent about the whole issue of capital punishment. And actually, at this point of the day, and it's late afternoon, less than 24 hours before the next execution, most people are going about their business and expect the execution to take place.
Debbie Nash, live from Nassau, thank you very much indeed. There has been prison trouble in Jamaica, too, where 300 officers either reported sick or were absent without permission. The reason given for the sick out is that the island's penal institutions, the latest being the St. Catherine District Prison, is the removal of the head of the prison department, the newly appointed Lieutenant Colonel John Prescott. An undertaker in Grenada has accidentally stumbled upon what he believes to be the remains of three people killed in the disturbances of 1983. That's when a bloody coup was followed by an armed invasion by United States soldiers. There's some debate about whether one of the bodies is that of the former Prime Minister Maurice Bishop, who was overthrown and murdered in the coup. Lou Smith has been trying to find out.
Clinton Bailey made the claim at a year-end news conference, saying he was seeking to clear the air on accusations made against him. He's been accused of knowing long ago of the whereabouts of the bodies, which have remained a 16-year-old Grenadian mystery. Those bodies included Maurice Bishop, the former prime minister. The news conference did not put an end to the accusations, with many charging Mr. Bailey knew because his father, now deceased, was the one who received the bodies in the first place. Mr. Bailey has also been silent on how or where he made the discovery and the present location of the pouches. He did say, however, he discovered them about 4 weeks ago. But the local gravedigger countercharged by saying it was he and not Mr. Bailey who discovered the pouches as long as 5 months ago. Mr. Bailey's supposition as to the identity of the remains are based on, among other things, that the remains are of more than one person, they are contained in U.S. Army pouches, and they bore evidence of having burnt. There has been widespread speculation over the years that the bodies had been burnt soon after the Fort Rupert killings. A former Grenadian diplomat told me the U.S. invading forces at the time did not want a funeral for Maurice Bishop, fearing massive protest and demonstrations. Contrary to some reports, it is widely believed that the remains of Maurice Bishop aren't in what was claimed to have been discovered. In fact, Mr. Bailey himself avoided calling any names during the news conference. And the approach taken by Mr. Bailey and his attorneys in not informing the police or the Office of National Security before going to the public has led the authorities to direct the police to do a thorough investigation of the matter. It is against the law to exhume any human remains without the permission of the coroner, but Mr. Bailey refuses to say just how he made his discovery. For BBC Caribbean Report, I am Lou Smith in St. George's.
Three parties are contesting the general elections in Dominica, scheduled for the end of this month. Having called a snap election, Prime Minister Edison James is hoping that this will give his United Workers Party the edge in the January 31st poll. But the opposition, Dominica Labour Party and the Dominica Freedom Party, are both trying to kick out Mr. James's UWP. I asked the opposition leader, Rosie Douglas, of the DLP, what are the chances of an opposition alliance to contest the poll against a governing party?
The voters, the way they vote will determine that. I mean, we are open in terms of the fact that whatever we have to do to get rid of this government, given the scandals they have wrought on this country, given the level of corruption, we have to do everything necessary to get rid of them. But the Freedom Party is an independent party, and I cannot say what they will do. What I can say is that a number of people in the Freedom Party are comfortable with the Dominica Labour Party.
The Freedom Party leader, Charles Savarin, says if the election is inconclusive, DFP-DLP accommodation could be a real option.
I think so, too. I think if the election ends that both of us have been told by the voters that we have to form an alliance to ensure that we give the country a good government, I think that is on the cards. But at the present time, our aim is to remove that government. I mean, the country is aching, suicide rates are up, murder rate is up, and our young people have absolutely no hope.
There is a perception in some quarters in Dominica, fairly or unfairly, that the opposition parties are not quite ready for government, that they don't quite have their act together. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, that is just naive thinking by people who are beholden to the United Workers Party government. I think any objective assessment of the Dominica situation will tell you that this government has failed. Even the prestige and image that the previous government headed by Eugenia Charles had has gone underground. At least with Eugenia there, nobody could take decisions on behalf of Dominica without consulting Dominica. Nowadays, nobody consults Edison James.
The Prime Minister had been hinting at early elections since last year, and neither of the two opposition parties has their list of candidates. Isn't that an indication?
No, that is absolutely incorrect. We do have 21 candidates. We do. The Dominica Labour Party has 21 candidates. Including among these are four civil servants who resigned their jobs to run and present themselves as candidates. I mean, how better can you get than that?
Dominica's opposition leader, Rosie Douglas. The banana giant Chiquita is facing a hostile takeover from the Panamanian company Consolidated Fruit. A successful takeover could be a major development in banana trading circles. Consolidated have taken advantage of the all-time low value of Chiquita's stock to acquire a 10% stake. But even with their relatively small stake, the New York lawyer is admitting that a takeover is a real possibility. It's a development that Renwick Rose of the Windward Islands Farmers Association is watching with interest.
To what extent now that given Chiquita's own role in combating the position of the Caribbean ACP group for preferential treatment on the European market. Is this Panamanian group, as a supposedly third world country, are they going to be more sympathetic as owners to the concerns of small farmers in the Caribbean, bearing in mind that in their own country, even though it's not on the same scale, there are small farmers? Or are the same policies going to continue in terms of the hostility towards our own positions? And
But can they afford to be, given Chiquita's precarious financial position?
You see, some of these are ticklish questions. The Chiquita position is a culmination of a number of factors. I noted, for instance, earlier in December, there was some talk of Fife, in fact, making a bid for Chiquita. I don't know if that would now re-emerge when Fife was talking about consolidating its position as one of the major groups. And at the time, Chiquita was claiming that the losses had to do with falling prices on the European market. But clearly, it is something that has happened over the last 7 years, the same 7 years that Fife has grown and consolidated its position. So it has something to do with other factors, including Hurricane Mitch, but including maybe the policies pursued by Chiquita. They had felt that the 1993 single European market was going to have an open sesame market in Europe. And there was, suppose after the fall of the Berlin Wall, there was supposed to be this great market opening in Eastern Europe. And none of these things have materialized, so I think Chiquita has paid the price for it.
One commodities analyst has suggested that one significant reason for Chiquita's financial troubles has been the European regime, which it so strongly objected to. Do you agree with this?
I don't think it is Chiquita has lost any more than certainly our farmers anyway in the islands, and certainly not on our banana associations. We have suffered tremendously as a result, and we don't have the range of financial and other resources that Chiquita has.
But have they or haven't they lost market share as a result of a policy that disadvantaged them?
I would not attribute it solely to what's happening in the European market. Fife has gained. Is there something that some people are doing right, that some people are doing wrong? What are the other factors involved? There needs to be more than an on-the-surface analysis of it.
Renwick Rose of the Windward Islands Banana Farmers Association, the 6-year-old Cuban boy who was at the center of a political fight between Cuba and the United States, will return to his homeland and to his father. That's the decision of American immigration officials dealing with the matter. The Florida relatives of Elian Gonzalez are incensed. He's been with them since November after being rescued from a shipwreck in which his mother drowned. The BBC's Malcolm Brabant reports from Miami.
6-year-old Elian Gonzalez was spending his second day at school in Miami as it emerged that the U.S. Immigration Service wants him to return to Cuba. The relatives who've been caring for him since he was plucked from the Atlantic Ocean on Thanksgiving Day have been gearing up to fight the INS decision. A spokesman for the family, Armando Gutierrez, said they would appeal against the ruling. The Miami relatives claim they can offer Elian a better life in the United States. Their intention is to try to tie up the government in court for months. But U.S. officials believe the courts are likely to favor the natural father, Juan Miguel Gonzalez, especially as he appears to have proved that he can provide the loving family environment the boy needs after such a traumatic ordeal. Elian has been stuck in the middle of a huge international tug of war since his rescue. Fidel Castro mobilized hundreds of thousands of demonstrators in Cuba to demand the boy's return. And in Miami, anti-Castro Cuban exiles used Elian's image as a symbol of the repressive nature of the island's communist regime. But the governments in Havana and Washington have been cutting through the Cold War rhetoric to reach a solution which they consider to be in Elian's best interests. The decision will outrage South Florida's hardline Cuban exiles, who thus far have not demonstrated on the streets. But it's likely that this highly politicized community will now mobilize and start a series of noisy protests. Malcolm Brabant, BBC News, Miami.
Finally, a recap of our major stories. A Bahamian convict, John Higgs, has committed suicide. He accused the government of using the death penalty for its own political ends. That's it for this edition of BBC Caribbean Report. Before we go, here's a reminder.
This and our other programs can be accessed on our internet website at www.bbc.co.uk/Caribbean.
I'm Maureen Gordon saying goodbye from London.